So we are in a sermon series on the red letters, the words of Jesus for today. And in many printings of the Bible, the words of Jesus are printed in red. And it just sort of highlights, well, this is what Jesus actually said. A couple weeks ago, we said that you find most of them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of the New Testament. And then I was thinking, well, what does he say? What are the messages in there? And there are sort of three types of things that Jesus is normally saying. He's often just talking about what's going on, and sometimes he's teaching directly, and other times it's parables. It's, hey, you know, Peter, James, John, follow me. They're the events that, you know, he's saying what they're going to do or what they should do, and it's just talking about what's happening. The dialogue of life, that's in there in the red letters. And we can learn from that of seeing what Jesus did. Then there's the direct teaching, which, again, things like we talked about where, well, nothing that comes into your mouth is going to make you unclean. It's what comes out of the heart, that we can't just be skin deep, we've got to be soul deep. There's the direct teachings of Jesus that are in there, and we're going to look at those throughout the summer. But there's also the parables. The parables where Jesus is giving that story with a purpose. It's just not a story for entertainment's sake, but it's a story intentionally to teach lessons. And so Jesus shares a lot of parables, some long, some short. So in Mark chapter 4, we have a longer one. And it's one that I've been drawn to in my life, and I remember being taught it as a kid because it's very graphic and it's got a little bit more meat to it. So we're going to look at that this morning. But right in the middle of it, it's sort of broken up. There's a first part where he's telling the parable, and then later on he explains it. And there's this little middle section that I want to look at before we get to the parable, because it could distract us from some of the main message. So let's look at verses 11 and 12. 11 and 12 say, and Jesus told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may ever seeing but never perceive, and ever hearing but never understand. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Now, this is a strange passage. I mean, if you just read that with no context and no understanding of the Bible, you would say, well, is Jesus setting up a secret religion that only the insiders know, and you have to cross through this cloak and put on a this and a do of that, and then you learn the secret sauce? Well, if you read the rest of the Bible, you know that's not true. And it sounds like at the end, well, let's just cloak it real good so that they don't actually know what's going on, and they don't understand, so they can't repent and be forgiven. Well, again, if you know what Jesus taught and what he said in the red letters, that can't be. So what is going on here? Well, Jesus is quoting from a dark period in Israel's history. That is the prophet Isaiah saying to the people, you guys are so dulled by all that you're doing wrong, by the way you're not focusing on God, that even though you're hearing it, you're not getting it. Even though you're seeing it, you're not getting it. And then that's the sadness. And Jesus is saying, no, you just, I speak in parables because sometimes they just can't get it. But we're going to hear that sometimes they can. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, because parables can penetrate. Parables have that power to, where there's that dullness, to break through it. Where's that hardness, they can sometimes soften that up. If you're following along in your sermon notes, that's your first blank, is that parables can penetrate. There are stories that, you know, even though Olivia might not remember right now, what was that story that was read to me when I was a kid? Later on, she may be in a situation saying, you know, I remember that story, and it fits in this. It can stay with us and percolate, and it can penetrate into our hearts and our souls and make a difference later on. So let's hear Mark chapter 4 of what Jesus is saying. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. They were up in the Sea of Galilee. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat out in it in the lake, while all the people were along the shore at water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, And in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and then they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still others fell among good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. Then, when he was alone, the 12 and others around him came and asked him about the parables. And then that section that I read before is right there, where they're like, you know, sometimes they're not going to get it. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown to them. Others are like seed sown on rocky places. They hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed thrown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what is sown. This is the word of the Lord. So let's look at this for a little bit. Of what are the main elements in this parable? It's a farmer sowing seed, and there's soil. So there's not a lot of clarity given on the farmer, but I would say, okay, that's us in ways. It can be other things as well, but really that's believers. And sowing seed is like, well, seed is the word, the message of God. But then the real focus is on the soil. And that there are four different types of soil given there. There is the hard soil, which the seed comes, it sits there, it gets taken away, doesn't even have a chance to penetrate because that hard soil is so, you know, hard that it just sits there waiting for a bird. We recently planted some grass, and you know the kids knew right away. Well, don't we have to break it up? Yeah, we have to break it up so that the soil can get in, or the seed can get into the soil. Otherwise, it's just sitting there. It'll be dry. It'll be wet. It'll be eaten and taken away. Then there is the rocky soil, and I think this is so fascinating, especially from a pastoral perspective, because I see these people. And they're heartbreaking often because they come into church and they hear about Jesus and they love it and they're like, woohoo! And then they're gone. Or they come into church and they get involved and they're like, oh, I want to help with this, help with that, help with that, help with that, help with that. Okay, I'm done. And it's just like, oh, they're loved up. And this parable speaks to that of saying, hey, some people are like that. They come in with this burst of energy, but they don't let their roots go deep. And that's an important part of our faith, is getting our roots to go deep. Taking the time, especially with people who are new to faith, of helping them. Hey, we need to learn, we need to discover, we need to let our roots go deep. And then there's the sadness of the thorns. Or you may say, well, why would they throw seeds where there are weeds? Well, often in that time, they would just hack off the top of all the weeds, so it wouldn't necessarily look like there were weeds, but there were already thorn roots in that place. And so the seed comes down, and without taking out those weeds and thorns, all of a sudden, you know, it starts to grow, but those weeds and thorns can grow faster. and the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for more, the chasing after the things of the world can choke out and say, well, I don't have time now, or I'm not going to then, and well, that's not most important. It's the thorns. But then there's the good soil. And the good soil is amazing because seeds are amazing. One seed in particular I want to highlight because the season has just opened, and that is the zucchini seed. All right, it is now officially zucchini season. Watch out for your doorsteps. Something may be arriving shortly. Zucchinis are just one of those amazing plants. You take this one little seed, you put it in the ground, it grows this big plant that just poo, 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 just keeps shooting out zucchinis. And think of how many seeds are in each new zucchini. I mean, you can just have zucchini till you have to go out and hunt them. It's just, and because if you don't, they will get out of control. All of a sudden, you'll have baseball bats and clubs. But that's the amazing thing with this good soil, is it takes it, and it really, really grows. This parable is about reality. This is a parable about what really happens in life and in the world. Jesus is saying, let me tell you a story so that you can be ready for how life works. And it's talking about people. They're hard people. They're shallow people. They're distracted people. And they're receptive people. And that's just the way things are. And I don't think this is really so much focused on what we are to do in terms of ourselves. I think we can be aware, hey, let's make sure my roots go deep, and let me be aware of thorns and weeds that might be choking out my spiritual life. But more than anything else, it's a reminder that we just don't know it all. As much as we think we might know it all, you don't know it all. Sorry. But God does. God knows. We don't know which person is coming to church, coming to faith, excited about Jesus, and is going to go out and share the gospel and save 100 other people. And which person is excited and hears it and is going to walk away from it 2 months later. You don't know, I don't know. God knows. So what do we do with that? I've got our number one lesson from this parable. It's pretty profound. Throw lots of seed. All right, if you're filling in your blank, lots of. Simple words. Throw lots of seed. We don't know what the ground is always. We don't know, well, maybe there are thorns there that have been cut down, but they're going to sprout back up. You don't know that. Maybe there's rock ledge right underneath there in the shallow soil. You don't know that. Maybe this is incredibly good soil, and this person has become the next Billy Graham. You don't know that. God knows. But what do? We throw lots of seed. Seed that can grow into faith. Seed that can grow into transformed life. Seed that can grow into caring for refugees and outcasts and the least of these. Seed that can grow into lots and lots of zucchini. No, just making sure you're still listening. Seed that can multiply. We throw lots of seed. So what is a seed? What is a seed you can throw? First off, you can throw good deeds. All right? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, do your good deeds before others that they may see them and glorify God in heaven. You can do good deeds, and that is part of the seeds of the good you can do. You can be helping somebody when they have a plumbing problem. You can be teaching refugees who are coming into this country. You can just be there with a neighbor, encouraging them. And that's the next thing, encouraging words. Good deeds, encouraging words. These are sort of melded together. Because often the best deed you can do is to say something nice. And I love this church because we got so many people that are good at making the phone call, dropping in to visit, just dropping a note. That's really the seeds. But you can do that not just with people within this church, but coworkers going through a hard time, neighbors in a challenging situation, just somebody in school or somebody you know who needs a word of encouragement. But quite frankly, this isn't enough. This is good, but it's not enough. There also needs to be a clear message. A clear message that God loves that person enough to leave the 99 behind and go get it, to clean out the entire house and find that one coin. A clear message that even though we are fallen, broken, and things don't go the way we want it, things don't go the way we think they should, we don't live up to our own standards, much less everybody else's standards, that God loves them, that God redeems them with the blood of Christ. This is a clear message that is really that seed. And that brings us to that final thing, is that it is about Jesus. It's a clear message about the real Jesus. That's why we're looking at the red letters. Is, you know, what did Jesus really say? You know, it's not all easy. It's not all simple. It deals with the realities of life. It deals with challenges to us. I haven't really laid out the whole summer, which I normally do, because I'm intimidated by some of those red letters. I mean, there's stuff about marriage and divorce. There's stuff about profound faith. There's stuff about dealing with really hard times. And I'm sorting through when's the best time to do these different messages from the red letters of what Jesus said for us to hear. But we need to be throwing seed. Lots and lots of seed, because we don't know. But what happens next? Jesus says, okay, there's 30 times growth, 60 times growth, 100 times growth. But he doesn't stop there. He continues. So I'm going to continue reading in Mark chapter 4, because what's better than Jesus' words? He said to them, in verse 21, do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? No, you put it on a stand. He's saying, let your light shine. Do those good deeds. Explain, proclaim. Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought into the open. So if you thought that middle section was saying Jesus is like, no, it's a private thing. No, nobody should understand. Right here he's saying, no, your job is to explain this to people. If anyone has ears, let them hear. Consider carefully what you hear. All right, he's saying, let them hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Let's stop there just for a moment. I think that's such an interesting idea right there. And it doesn't seem fair. Well, how come this person who doesn't have much, that gets taken away, and this person who has more, they even get more? That just doesn't sound fair. Well, if you put it in this context of you've got a message, you've got good news, you've got things to share with people, you've got seed, if you hold on to all that seed, it will eventually go bad. But if you throw it out there, you get more. It's sort of like Spanish. Okay, who here has ever attempted to learn a foreign language? Well, most of you. Who here is proficient in a foreign language? I mean, the person that just came back from Chile didn't raise their hand. I mean, so what's with that? Well, what you have, if you've got a little bit of Spanish and you don't use it, what you have will be taken away from you. You will lose it. It will not be there anymore. But if you have a little bit of Spanish and you continually use it, you put it into practice, you find opportunities to listen and speak, guess what? What you have, more will be added to it. You will naturally learn more Spanish if you use it. But if you don't, you will lose it. It's just reality again. And so Jesus is saying here, hey, let your light shine, put it up on a stamp, explain it to others, and if you don't do this, you're going to lose it. The joy that he wants you to have, the purpose and meaning he wants you to have, is tied up in this parable, in this foundational message. And then he goes right back to the seed. Verse 26, and he said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts. It grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts a sickle to it because the harvest has come. Message here. The growth is God's work. God's the one who's causing the growth. God's the one who makes this change happen in people, in our lives. That, you know, we can say, oh, I got to do. But ultimately, God's got to do. God's got to change hearts. God's got to transform minds. God is the one that takes all that seed that we're throwing out there and transforms lives with it, transforms the world with it. So not only do we not know, but God knows. Also, we're not in control. God is in control. And hopefully that's comforting. I know many of us are control freaks and we like to be in control, but if somebody even better than us is in control, that's a good thing. That God is in control, not us. I'm going to go back to seeds myself. And that idea of God being in control and us not knowing, I'm thinking about different types of seed. And I don't do a lot of gardening, but I dabble in gardening. And there's lettuce. You put down lettuce seed early spring, right off the bat, boop, pops up, couple days, within 30, 40 days, you're eating lettuce. That's a great thing. Now, tomatoes, up in this part of the world, you can't put the seed in the ground. They take too long before frost comes. So you've got to start them indoors because they take longer. You need your good 90 days for your tomatoes. But then there are things like asparagus. We planted asparagus when we moved into our house 4 years and we still haven't eaten it. I mean, some things just take longer to germinate. Sometimes we don't know the timing. You know, somebody I discipled, they became a Christian. Woo, yeah. They got baptized. Woo, yeah. Here's the Bible. Yeah, that's nice. I'm like, come on. This is the Word of God. This is where you find out. That's nice. It was about 2 years later that person came back to me and they're like, you know that Bible you gave me? I'm reading it now. And this is great. I can't put it down. It took some time for the roots to go down. It took some time for the seeds to germinate. And we didn't know. Like, I wanted to, like, come on, just read the Word of God. But, well, that doesn't do it. I mean, I did encourage from time to time, hey, you reading? Hey, I'm reading. How about you? But God is in control. And sometimes that requires patience on our part. But it's not just patience. Because there's the fact that we can participate. And that's the final blank in your bulletin. That growth is God's work, but you get to participate. I mean, let's stick with this agricultural paradigm for a while. There are all sorts of things we can do to help a seedling grow. That good soil is good, but good soil with fertilizer is better. Good soil with good weeding is better. Good soil with some pruning along the way is better. Some protection, some watering. There's all sorts of things that can be done to help a plant produce the most harvest possible. And we get to participate in that. First and foremost with ourselves. I've been accused of sort of being teachy in my preaching. Oh, can't you just give us an inspirational message, something that feels good, and we can go out and have a great week? Well, I could, and hopefully I do some of that. But also, I want you to know the Bible. I want you to know how to understand it for yourselves. I want you to be able to work on your own growth. You get to participate in your own growth. It doesn't just happen. We have to be intentional about getting our roots down. And as our roots down, that fruit is going to naturally come. And then with others, especially new believers, but all of us, that we get to help people in their growth and be involved and participate. You know, maybe you come to church and say, "Oh, well, I don't get anything. I know what I got it all." Well, great. Then help somebody else get it all. All right? And I think once you start doing that, you realize, ooh, there's more I can learn too. But we get to participate in people within the church, people within Christianity throughout the world, their growth, but even unbelievers. The thinking about that good soil, that at times that hard, packed soil is because of just hard things that have happened in life. Hard things in childhood, hard things growing up, scars and just trauma in life. And sometimes we can be involved with helping loosen that up as God turns it over and gets it ready for a harvest. And we can encourage even those who at onset seem so hard. And maybe some of those people who've got some weeds that just need to have that taken out so that the growth can come. We can participate. And it comes back to basically the same thing of good deeds, of encouraging words, of a clear message, and the truth of Jesus. We get to throw lots of seed. I hope that you find ways to throw lots of seed so that God is glorified, so that faith can grow, and so that you find that purpose and you don't lose it, but grow in what God wants you to do in life. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this message from Jesus, a parable about reality and a parable challenging us to more, to grow, to share, to be a light, to be a blessing. Lord, we thank you so much for your word and the way that it can be a solid foundation, a rock higher than us that we can stand on and base our lives on. In Jesus' name, amen.